From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Governor Mike Dunleavy has signed an administrative order he says is needed to protect free speech rights of state employees who do not wish to pay union dues. The order calls for new procedures to allow employees to opt in or opt out of paying dues and fees. The administration argues these steps are needed to comply with a U.S. Supreme Court decision. This follows a lawsuit initiated by the state that seeks a court order allowing it to stop deducting dues or fees from an employee's check when the employee no longer wishes to contribute to a union. A major public employees union is seeking to block any changes to the dues deduction process and Cassie administration's actions as an attempt to hamper the effectiveness of public employees union. The Alaska Department of Revenue confirmed the amount of this year's permanent fund dividend check in a release today. The $1,606 check doesn't come as a surprise after lawmakers decided on the amount following drawn-out regular and special legislative sessions. Governor Mike Dunleavy favored setting the amount according to a statutory formula that hasn't been followed since 2016. Had that been used this year, the check would have been $2,910. However, some lawmakers balked, saying that amount was unsustainable. Revenue officials say Alaskans will begin receiving their checks Thursday. Governor Mike Dunleavy has chosen Representative Josh Rivak as his second choice to fill a vacant Anchorage Senate seat. Rivak must be confirmed by a majority of the 12 Senate Republicans. They rejected Representative Laddie Shaw, Dunleavy's first choice, over his support of paying full permanent fund dividends under a 1982 state law. Rivak also has supported full PFDs. Dunleavy says he hopes senators approve Rivak.
He was elected by members of his district. He is a member of that House district. That's part of the Senate district. So we're hopeful that the Senate will consider him and confirm him. We think he's well qualified, and we think he will make a great senator. So we'll see how that goes.
The vacancy was created by the death of Senator Chris Birch, who opposed full PFDs. Birch wanted the state dividends to comply with a law that limits draws from permanent fund earnings to preserve the fund's value. Senate President Kathy Geisel cited Shaw's difference with Birch in not approving Shaw. Dunleavy says Rivak's character and his experience in the district had more to do with his appointment than his position on the dividend. Rivak served in the Army and worked on military and veterans affairs for U.S. Representative Don Young and U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan before he was elected to the Alaska House last year. He is a director of the Safari Club International Alaska chapter. Rivak didn't return a call for comment on Friday. In a statement on Facebook, he said he was attending a reunion of the 37th Armored Regiment in Washington, D.C. He wrote the appointment is an incredible honor, and that if confirmed, I'll give it my all. Dunleavy says he'll talk with legislators about scheduling a third special session after the Senate seat is filled. He must give 30 days notice before a session can start. That means 30-day session could extend until Thanksgiving if Dunleavy calls it any later than Sunday. The governor says he hasn't set a deadline for calling a special session.
The days are ticking off the calendar, but nonetheless, we still have some business that we feel needs to be settled.
Dunleavy says he hopes Rivak is confirmed quickly. Senate President Kathy Geisel said in a statement that the Senate Republicans are determining when to meet to consider Rivak's appointment. If senators reject Rivak, Dunleavy will have 10 days to appoint a third choice. U.S. military officials say melting sea ice, increased shipping, and shifting defense priorities are factors in deciding whether to reestablish permanent facilities in Alaska's Bering Sea region. Alaska Public Media reported yesterday that the Native Regional Aleut Corporation owns much of the land on Adak Island and is promoting a military return to the Aleutian Islands. Navy spokesperson Lieutenant Rochelle Rieger says a potential permanent base in Alaska is under consideration, but no decisions have been made. The Pentagon closed a large naval air base on Adak in the 1990s, but the Navy and Marine Corps recently held large-scale exercises there to test cold climate capabilities. The Aleut Corporation's military liaison says the Navy's return would contribute to the revival of a small civilian community on the island. And it is day 5 of our Municipal Candidate Profile Series. This year, there are 4 candidates seeking 4 seats in the Juneau Assembly. Today's question for them: do you support additional city funding for improvements to City Hall and a new Juneau Arts and Culture Center? Why or why not?
My name is Carol Treem, and I'm running for the area-wide assembly seat. I do. Centennial Hall definitely needs those improvements. I think all user groups, not just the ones that are coming from outside of Juneau to use it as a convention space, but the people in town who use it as a community hall, I think everybody agrees that that building needs a lot of work. I also support the new Jack and hope that they get that project up and running. I think that it's a pretty good investment for CBJ to give a small portion of that funding. It'll help in the short term create jobs, and in the long term we'll have a beautiful performing arts center, which will just enhance our community at every level.
I'm Greg Smith. I'm running for Juneau Assembly, District 1. The Centennial Hall is a city building, and we are responsible for it, and it needs work. I do support putting in money to fix that building up. I do support a new jack, as I mentioned before, with needing to be very safe with our finances. I do have a concern on how much the city is going to and will be asked in the future to support a new jack. But I believe the investments in the proposals that are on the October 1st ballot are reasonable, and I do support them. Again, with some caution on raising taxes and not spending too much of our fund balances and reserves.
My name is Alicia Hughes Scandies. I'm running for the Assembly, District Seat 1.
I will be voting yes. The Centennial Hall, definitely, we know it needs some significant remodels and re-improvements. We've heard that from the staff there, and we know to keep a building running, it's better to take care of it now than push it off to the future, and it has already been pushed off. I support the jack as well. I think it's going to be an economic driver for our community. I think for a city that has such a thriving arts and culture scene, you know, we'll have the location that matches that drive.
My name's Wade Bryson, and I'm running for Assembly District 2. If we approve everything, if the voters of Juneau approve everything, we are committing the city of Juneau to $17.5 million of debt over the next 15 years. That's $4 million of sales tax money that would be given to Centennial Hall, $7 million bond, which would then have $6 million of interest tacked on to it. So it's a $13 million bond ask. I don't know that committing the city to $17.5 million of taxpayer money through property tax, sales tax, and hotel bed tax is necessarily the right path if you're truly concerned about keeping our debt structure intact.
On the school board side, there are four candidates seeking two seats. Today's question for them: the Juneau School District recently adopted an Indigenous language policy that affirms the district's commitment to supporting Tlingit language revitalization. How would you hope to see this policy put into practice?
My name is Dee Dee Sorensen, and I'm running for a seat on the Juneau School Board. The Tlingit Language Project is ambitious and timely. Historically, government education institutions were largely responsible for the diminishment of native languages across the entire country. It is incumbent upon us to do what we can to help restore pieces of the native culture that schools essentially drummed out in earlier centuries. I do not have a clear vision of how the revitalization of the Tlingit language within our schools is going to work. I mean, we have the Tlingit Culture and Language Program, which does introduce Tlingit language to a number of students in that program. However, how the expansion is going to work beyond that program, I really don't have a vision for.
My name is Martin Stepton Sr., and I am running for the Board of Education for Juneau, Alaska. I'm really proud of the current school board's work on the Tlingit languages. We have a board, school board, and a community that that supports Tlingit language culture. And I want to see that go forward. I want to see the program, TCLL specifically, I want to see it grow. I want to see a second location opened up here in Juneau, preferably in the valley. The one that we have right now is in downtown. So right now, everybody that wants to be in TCLL, a student or the parent student, is not, because there's just not enough room for the students. Just like there's not enough room for Head Start, there's not enough room for TCLL students. We need to provide at least enough for those students who want to be in TCLL to get into TCLL.
My name is Bonnie Jensen, and I'm running for school board. This is something that my children have already started, and they love it. So starting it at a young age, I think, is extremely important, and it should be followed through. There should be options for middle schoolers and high schoolers as well. I don't know how the Juneau School District will be able to put it in place. That would definitely be a conversation that I would like to collaborate with the board on.
I'm Emil Mackey, and I'm running for Juneau School Board. So we already have some programs like TCL that starts kids learning the Tlingit language and culture really the instant they start school. I would like to see that basically continued and possibly expanded. I'm also open to – it's not a priority, but I would like for us to see really the feasibility of possibly even a charter school. And the reason I say that is because if we can do a Tlingit language charter school for elementary kids, in addition to actually kind of consolidating the TCL program and finding some efficiencies, it could actually improve the Tlingit language. It could also help really capture that population that needs that ESL-type approach in order to really get them on track. I also think that culturally it's just responsive and responsible, and it could also bring more money because charter schools get a little bit of extra money. And if we can do a charter school inside a school, I think that would be an interesting proposition.
If you missed part of our candidate profile series, you can find transcripts of it at ktoo.org/elections. You can also compare all the candidates for Juneau Assembly and School Board there. Tuesday is Juneau's Municipal Election Day. With 10 days gone in the month-long hunting season for moose in southeast Alaska, hunters have harvested 37 bull moose so far. The most productive area has been Kupreanof Island, including 5 animals taken in the Cake area and another 9 moose shot on the rest of that island. The season continues through October 15th. The past few years have seen hunt totals top 100 moose, with the record of 117 2 years ago. Far from home, Australians at an international police convention didn't want to miss an official day to honor their fallen officers, so they held a quickly planned ceremony Friday with their Alaska counterparts. Australians were among some 700 officers attending the International Association of Women Police Convention in Anchorage. They commemorated their Police Remembrance Day in an impromptu ceremony at a police memorial in Alaska's largest city. And taking a look at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island, tonight, clear, lows around 30, Saturday, sunny, highs around 60. And with those clear skies, let's take a look at the aurora forecast from the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. A 6, high plus. Weather permitting, highly active auroral displays will be visible overhead from Utsjavik to as far south as Kodiak and King Salmon. Forecast says auroral activity should be peaking between 7 p.m. Alaska time and 1 a.m. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, September 27th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.